Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg, up next. Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support for the morning show also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. And as always, it's a pleasure to welcome from across the hall once a month the president of Gateway Technical College. And on today's program, President Albrecht is here to help celebrate October as Manufacturing Month. And a little bit later, we will introduce three important guests who have joined us here in the studios, partners and friends of Gateway Technical College that we're excited to talk about. But first, President Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning.
And we welcome you back from Nashville.
Well,
what brought you to Nashville?
Yes, I actually just returned yesterday from Nashville. I went on a site visit with Racine Unified School District, and it was really remarkable. As you know, Racine's been working on developing pathways for young people going from middle school to high school, and then ultimately from high school either to college or into a career. And Nashville School District has been working for several years on a project called the Academies of Nashville, which is to develop kind of a school within a school around career cluster areas, so hospitality, manufacturing, IT. And Racine invited myself and representative from UW Parkside to go take a look at what they're doing to see how we could strengthen our support to either align college programming with the high schools, and equally important to kind of share our thoughts on what the future of career and technical education might look like for the K-12 system. And I was really proud to represent our community, to represent our college, and the fact that Racine Unified has taken that big step forward to do whatever they can to assure that young people are prepared for the dynamic workplaces of today, which is really what our topic is around manufacturing. So I was excited to be there. I learned a lot, and I want to just be a great partner and thank the folks from Racine Unified for inviting me.
Very good. Nashville's a beautiful city, too, isn't it?
We didn't have a whole lot of time to see the city, but it was a lot of fun while we were there. A little bit warmer than it is here now, actually.
I'm sure. And I know that speaking of being proud, you should be certainly proud of having just received the National Entrepreneurship Award. Tell us what that award is about and who it comes from.
Yeah, that's actually, thanks for mentioning it. It's an honor, first of all, and quite a surprise for me because, you know, individually, I don't know that a lot of people think of themselves as being very entrepreneurial. I think you just go about doing your work and the best you can. But I am so honored that our team, and this award represents a team effort. Kate Walker and Kristen Nemec were the nominees for me, and it is the National Award for College Presidents for Entrepreneurialism. So Gateway has been very aggressive in the way that we develop our programs and create business partnerships and really try to drive change within our educational delivery models. And, you know, out of the 1,200 community colleges that are out there, to know that we're recognized collectively as being innovative and trying new things and creating opportunities for our students really sets me a sense of pride that, what we're doing is the right thing. So I'm very grateful and honored to be recognized that
way. Good. Speaking of recognition, tell us about an honor bestowed on Jim Eastman, I think, last night.
Oh, such a great friend. Jim Eastman, the CEO of Merchant Moving and Storage, was recognized last night, you're right, as our Three Harbors Council Distinguished Citizen for the Boy Scouts of America.
Huh.
Always a fun night. You know, it's great to see the Cub Scouts there and the Boy Scouts, and they have the regular routines that they do. But what an inspiration Jim has been to our community, helping develop young leaders for decades. And Merchants has been involved in many programs, including early reading programs to leadership support for leadership programs for youth. And just an honorable man. And I was really intrigued by the stories that his daughter shared and other colleagues that he has worked with over the years. And really, I think, upholds the characters and values of the Boy Scouts.
Very good. Well, as we mentioned right at the top, October is National Manufacturing Month. And what does that mean for a place like Gateway?
You know, everything has to have a month. We've got to get that for sure.
Right.
But this one is extremely important, and we're quite proud to support the National Association for Manufacturers Manufacturing Month campaign. So it's a way to create greater awareness about the importance of manufacturing in our economies, both nationally and locally. It's a way to help expose young people to the changes in skills that are required to be successful in manufacturing. And it's a way to help our communities better understand the impact that manufacturing has on our daily lives, whether it's the products we use or the resources that are brought to a community through the economic development drivers of manufacturing. So Gateway, of course, with our history here in Southeast Wisconsin, has always been involved in manufacturing. And our guest today will share with you some of the changes that have been taking place in their industries, and then in turn, driving our changes with the types of content and curriculum we deliver at the college.
A lot of interesting stuff.
Yes.
So it's good that we can welcome everybody here. So we want to welcome Mike Reeder, from president of Precision Plus. We welcome you into our studios. And Chuck Jester, who is production manager for Ocean Spray. And Dominic Cariello, who is director of manufacturing and flow instrumentation for Badger Meter. So good to have all three of you here. Glad to have you here. Mike Reeder, let's find out a little bit first about the company Precision Plus and the things that you make, and maybe a word or two about what makes you so successful.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me here today. Precision Plus is a contract manufacturer. We're located in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, in Walworth County. We have about 65 employees. We were founded in 1982 as a spinoff of some of the other Swiss screw machining companies in the area. What has made us successful over the years is, while we are a contract manufacturer focused in precision turning of metal parts, it really comes down to solving problems. And that is, you know, it's not about just making commodity-type parts. It's adding value through your knowledge and the skill sets that you bring to the table.
Mike has been such a great partner for us at Gateway, helping us actually drive and develop our new manufacturing center on the Elkhorn campus. And I wish we could show videos here on the radio, but encourage our listeners to go online and take a look at what we're developing for the Elkhorn-Walworth County communities around precision machining, especially in the Swiss screw technology. One of the few colleges in the country to be able to do that. And Mike's been our champion to help us understand the impacts and the dynamic changes around, and I use micro machining as the term, but very small and precision type machining.
Just say a word about exactly that, what that term Swiss screwing refers to.
Swiss screw machines refer to not where the machines were made, but the process that's used. So it is a sliding headstock feeding the material through a guide bushing that you can support the material right at the point of cutting, which allows you to make very long, skinny parts with very tight tolerances. It was developed in the 1870s. The process was developed in the 1870s in Switzerland. And I had the pleasure of touring some of the shops that were early pioneers in that area a few years back.
Wow.
That technology is actually really important to Southeast Wisconsin. The Walworth County community, Kenosha community, and Racine, a lot of manufacturers are using the Swiss technology in areas like aviation, automotive, medical device instrumentation, those areas that require really extreme high tolerances. And so we've just not had the opportunity to get it, to invest in that type of equipment at the college until Mike helped us link to some of his suppliers and really create a new program.
Wow. And so what would be the most common sort of applications for the kind of things that you make?
It's very diversified. We put product into aircraft, medical devices, both implantable and medical devices used outside the body, automotive, which is important to Kenosha and the Tri-County area. Watches, you look at the resurgence of the mechanical movements and everyday life.
Right. Makes all the difference for those things to work. Great. Chuck Jester, you're with us as well. And, of course, most people listening probably have encountered and enjoyed Ocean Spray cranberry juice or some of the other delicious things that you make. But that doesn't mean that we understand the background of Ocean Spray particularly well. So tell us a little bit about the company for which you are production manager.
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me here. You know, Ocean Spray, it's an American success story, taste, health, heritage, and innovation. We're a cooperative. We were formed in 1930, and we'll be celebrating our 85th anniversary this year.
Yay.
You know, we're not a typical company. We're a vibrant agriculture cooperative owned by 700 cranberry and grapefruit growers who have helped preserve the family farming way of life of generations. You know, the average cranberry bog is 18 acres for our cranberry farmers. We have over $2 billion in revenue, nearly 20 cranberry receiving and processing facilities, and more than 2,000 employees worldwide. You know, we're the leading producer of cranberry juices and drinks and dried cranberries. And luckily, we have a plant here in Kenosha that is right here in the background. We have been here since 1971, and we employ about 215 employees here.
And this is cranberry season, isn't it?
It sure is.
I bet people are pretty busy over at your place.
So we're actually, our cranberry farmers here are, and all over the U.S., we are in harvest right now. So it's a very, very busy season for us, especially here at Kenosha, because we produce cranberry sauce here in our plants, and we're receiving on a daily basis, we're receiving loads of fresh cranberries to put in our cranberry sauce that we're making here. Our plant's a little unique out of the cooperative. We produce cranberry juice in all of Ocean Spray's cranberry juice and PET bottles, anything from a 10-ounce bottle to a 3-liter bottle. And as I mentioned, we also make cranberry sauce at our plant. And we also, with some of our alliances, we fill juice boxes, aseptically filled juice boxes here at our plants as well.
That's terrific. You know, I know that the cranberry itself is so important to Wisconsin's economy. So to be able to have, you know, Chuck here and Ocean Spray right in our home community, it just kind of brings that whole ideal of, you know, the importance of Southeast Wisconsin to the rest of the state and, of course, to the entire nation because of the work that you do.
Yep, and, you know, the cranberry is a state fruit for Wisconsin.
As well it should be. And by the way, how central are these cranberry products versus some of the other kinds of drinks, for instance, that Ocean Spray makes? I mean, that diversification has been really impressive over the years, but I suspect cranberries are still what you're best known for and still the bedrock of what you do.
Yes, so, you know, many of our juices that we make have cranberry in it. So we have a large volume of different juices that we make, and cranberries are a part of most of them.
That's right. I mean, even if it's cran grape or cran raspberry, whatever, you still have to have those cranberries. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're glad that you create the wonderful products that you do. And it's great to also welcome back to the program Dominic Cariello, who is Director of Manufacturing and Flow Instrumentation for Badger Meter. And you were back on our program, was it this past May?
That's correct.
As Gateway's commencement speaker. And that's an honor that just doesn't get bestowed on the drop of a hat. So congrats again on that honor. Badger Meter, of course, is a very, very successful company, thriving in so many exciting ways. Explain to our listeners a little bit about what Badger Meter does.
Well, absolutely. Well, good morning, and it's great to be back. Badger Meter celebrated its 110th anniversary this year. It's been around for a long time. Predominantly, Badger was the utility meter, and it is in most homes today. If you go down in your basement or look outside, you have a Badger Meter that's monitoring how much water you're consuming. We have various technologies, and that's what we call the utility side of Badger. I'm responsible for the manufacturing and operations of the instrumentation side, where we're in the oil and gas, water, wastewater, chem, petrochem, test and measurement, a lot of the industrial flow processing. So we make all different types of flow meters. We have flow meters that we have our Swiss machines that are machining the tapered metering cones in our variable area flow meters that have to have that precision, identifying where the specific diameters are for the flows that we need at specific points. So incorporate a lot of different types of technology to make our product, and then the technology that our product bears. So we have variable area, turbine meter, ultrasonic, Doppler, time of flight, coin wedge, pitot, venturi, Coriolis, vortex shedding. What am I missing? I think I've got it pretty much covered. And we also have the concrete vibrating product line, WICO, that consolidates concrete for the paving and construction industry. And we manufacture that in a Racine facility as well.
Now, does that have anything directly to do with the other things you do, or is that just kind of a sidelight?
Well, that was a sidelight. We were acquired in 2012, we being Racine Federated Incorporated, by Badger Meter, and it was a phenomenal acquisition and being part of such a great organization and what it brings to the table and the opportunities. But we had what we call the flow instrumentation side of the house, Racine Federated, and we had the construction side. And the WICO was part of that, and we were growing it. Then we also had, though, with that, we're on the final side. So when the concrete is all batched up, processed, and it's being poured into the forms or into the runways, et cetera, we're vibrating that down. We're getting the air out of it so that we don't have any air pockets, et cetera. But on the Badger side, we have what's called the concrete meter flow instrumentation. We're in the batching plants now. So our flow meters are regulating how much water or chemical, plasticizers, reducers, et cetera, that go into making the concrete. So we're on the front side with the Badger meter program, and we're on the final side with the WICO concrete vibrating.
Interesting.
I love it because I learned so much when I'm listening to Dominic about all the different terminology that's used. But it's absolutely a remarkable industry. And Dominic has taught us so much. He's been involved in youth initiatives for many years, and we've been friends for well over 20 years and helping to try to drive that pathway that I talked about earlier. But most recently, he's been our champion for the concept of mechatronics. I like to refer to it as machines talking to machines.
Mm.
And now you'll be really proud to hear this too, Dominic. I don't know that we've even shared with you a material testing lab over at our IMED Center so that we can do testing on concrete,
fantastic,
testing on flow. And it's really, I think, going to continue to add to the skill sets that our graduates will have when they go out to work for companies like Badger.
Cool.
Fantastic. And whatever we can do to help support that, Brian, you know we're going to be there for you.
Absolutely.
By the way, tell us what it was like to speak at commencement back in May.
Honor and a privilege. It really was. I was floored when I was asked. And to be able to get up and talk to our future workforce, to be able to, what you hope are words of wisdom. And I tried to focus it on that, you know, you've already put in the hard work to get what we're looking for in industry. Don't stop. It doesn't stop. So, you know, putting in the long hours, having to do all the research, writing up all the papers, putting together the spreadsheets, you know, working really hard to pass the test. Well, manufacturing and work is a test. It's an ongoing test. So I was trying to focus it in the realm of you're already on your way to being successful. Just don't stop because you have a piece of paper in your hand.
He was a rock star. The students loved it. The parents loved it because Dominic, you know, he's from this area. He grew up here and has been here, like I said, a long time and worked with the schools and understands, you know, the process of education. But then how do you relate that to your future career? And the whole driving message of education is a lifelong journey. And, you know, you can't look at it in little segments. You have to look at it in a whole big spectrum. So really proud to have you with us.
Thank you. Good.
For those of you just joining us, this is Brian Albrecht's monthly visit to the morning show. He's the president of Gateway Technical College. He has with him today Dominic Cariello, a director of manufacturing flow instrumentation at Badger Meter, Chuck Jester, who is production manager for Ocean Spray here in Kenosha, and we also have with us Mike Reeder, who is president of Precision Plus, located out in Elkhorn, right?
Correct.
Mike Reeder, maybe you can say a word about this whole business of October being manufacturing month and maybe what you see as the importance of sitting down and talking about something like manufacturing, something that a lot of us tend to kind of take for granted in a sense.
Well, manufacturing, I think, has gotten a bad rap, you know, over several decades, you know, and dark, dirty, and dangerous. And it was probably, 3 years ago that National Association of Manufacturers kicked off National Manufacturing Month to raise awareness. And more importantly, to try to change some of the outdated perceptions of what manufacturing is. Many people have visions of Henry Ford's production line and a worker putting lug nuts on all day long or pulling a handle on a drill press 8 or 10 hours a day. Manufacturing today is not that. You might be able to find a few of those places still around, but predominantly it's utilizing high-tech equipment with very skilled workers, solving problems, and making some very, very cool technology with that.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I agree with Mike. So we bring in high school students for tours. We bring in elementary kids students with tours. And after the tour, we get them together. We talk to them, ask them how things went. And one of the biggest things they say is they were amazed how clean the plant is. You know, there's not as much manual labor. The machines are doing all the work. And so, yes, I agree with Mike that we used to have manufacturing had that rap, but I think it's changing.
Hmm. So you have sort of regular visits from young people to your plant here in Kenosha?
Yep, we sure do. And in my opinion, I think the key is we even want to get them younger. I think the grade school kids, so they can go home and start talking to their parents about manufacturing, because they're the ones that, you know, get in the ear of the parents on how nice manufacturing is and the good opportunities.
Right. So, Mr. Reeder, I don't know about Precision Plus. I don't know if that's as exciting looking as a place that makes, you know, juices and juice boxes. I mean, I can see how young people would look at that and be impressed. Is Precision Plus the kind of place where it makes sense to bring in young people to take a look?
Well, absolutely. At least I think so.
It's exciting to
we
you.
We do a lot of the outreach efforts as well, because, you know, if they don't have an opportunity to see what it is, how are they ever going to get interested in it? And that's really been some of the biggest challenge to overcome is, you know, getting out to the schools and reaching them as young as you can, get them into your building so that they can see the technology and what's going on. It's also important that we engage the parents, because a lot of times it's the parents that, you know, have some of these outdated perceptions. And so we encourage students to come through with their parents as much as possible. We provide youth apprenticeship programs during the school year, summer internships. We are participating in the student tours. Next week, we're going to have a number of tours through, as well as the rest of the month. Next Thursday night, 5 to probably 7:30 in the evening, we've got our open house, where we throw open the doors to anyone in the community that wants to come in. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your students and children. Come out and see what manufacturing is today.
That's great.
Yeah, and I assure you, you would be impressed, because it is an exciting tour over at Precision Plus. And certainly, Mike and Chuck hit in some key elements to why Manufacturing Month is so important. People just, you know, sometimes forget, or your experience wasn't as comprehensive as it might have could have been. We run into the same thing at Gateway. A lot of people have had Gateway classes, or they've had an experience, but it might have been 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, and maybe don't realize that it changes constantly, and that our environment changes, the types of programs we offer change, and so does manufacturing. So we have programs in mechatronics, in engineering, in medical technology, you know, and cloud-based computing. Those are all new factors of manufacturing that we didn't teach 3 years ago. And so, you know, you need to stay up with it and find ways to expose young people, develop that those impressions in their mind about what their future could be, and Manufacturing Month draws that out.
Mm. That's great. Yeah, Chuck?
Yeah, I think if parents were able to do a tour of the iMed Center, they would truly be amazed at the technology there and what can be the teaching to students.
Mm. Agreed.
Yeah, you know, the iMed Center is unique because we really focused on the idea of integrated manufacturing and engineering technology. So all the way from concept to design to full-scale production to re-engineering and doing prototyping with 3D printers and really helping people understand the comprehensive nature of what it takes to produce products today.
Hmm. Chuck Chester, you were talking earlier about all that the plant here in Kenosha does in terms of outreach and partnering with the community and so on. Is that kind of unique here to this facility, or is that kind of an abiding principle for Ocean Spray, you know, with all your facilities all over Wisconsin and, for that matter, across the country?
You know, I can't specifically speak to, you know, we have 8 plants across the United States. I can't speak to their partnerships with and what they do in the community, but I can tell you that our plant is unique, that, you know, we partnered with Gateway on our state indentured apprenticeship program. So we have an apprenticeship program for our skilled trades as well as for our operators. And we are the only plant within Ocean Spray that does that. And we've had plants reach out to us, and we're working with them to provide them information on how to go about doing that process, because it's worked very well with the state and Gateway.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Ocean Spray's been a great champion for the whole rebuilding of apprenticeship in our region. Actually, over 35 apprentices now over at Ocean Spray, and we're really proud to be able to be the host training center for that effort. And it's really building a talent pipeline from within. So while we try to do exposure through Manufacturing Month for young people, there's an incumbent workforce that's out there that also needs additional skill sets, and it's a combination of everything.
Chuck, say a little more about how this partnership with Gateway came about in the first place. Did you come to them? Did they come to you? Or did you just sort of magically meet in the middle? And
Well, I can tell you that it really, you know, it didn't start with our apprenticeship program. Years ago, we partnered with Gateway just for training for our employees. And one of the big things that Gateway helped us with one of the local trainers, teachers, or instructors, was grant training. So we helped them, and they helped us apply for grants, and we obtained those grants, and we were able to provide on-site training using Gateway instructors to provide the training at our facility. As people would know, with manufacturing, you can't shut the plant down. The instructor would come to our plant and provide those additional skills to our employees. And then as well as we partnered with them when we started to build our apprenticeship program approximately 3.5 years ago. It was just the right thing to do with the instructors that they have and the technology that they have here.
Yeah, many of our partnerships tend to be an evolution. So we start in one place, and over the years they grow and expand into different regions. And, you know, there's so many different diverse services that a company needs, whether it's front office, back office, production line. And Gateway has a multitude of resources that can help address those needs. And the needs change just as production changes.
Mm. Dominic Cariello, we haven't heard you really weigh in yet on this matter of young people and maybe the mistaken impressions they have about the manufacturing sector and all that it has to offer. What's your sense as you interact with young people about some of those impressions, and what can we do to change those?
Well, absolutely. Last year during Manufacturing Month, we had 183 students come through Badger Meter. We had from 7th grade all the way through post-high school a couple groups that came through from the Milwaukee area that were processed through Workforce Development Center. Our plant is open all the time. We're giving tours to school groups and all the time because for the three of us, as I shared with the board of directors for the technical college, the three of us had the opportunity to be the speakers there. Every month is Manufacturing Month for us. So, yeah. You know, to have a special day or a special month for it, you know, we could have the variable area meter of the month, of that nature.
Yeah.
The impression that children have when they come into a facility is that it's dirty. Again, as Mike was stating, that, you know, it's dark and dingy and it's just not the right place to work. And part of that from the past generations. I now have a picture of my great-grandfather when he came over from Italy. He worked for Nash down here in Kenosha. And there's a photo of him and all of the workers and with their dirty shirts and their faces all grimy. What I always have to point out is the guy with the white shirt and his face not grimy. Well, that's my great-grandfather. And I don't know how he worked that out, but... you know, that was the factory of the past.
Right.
And when you walk in and you see the technology that's running our operations, you know, that excites kids. I've often said, you know, if I was brilliant enough to create a game online for kids, it would be setting up a plant, setting up machines, and having to turn parts. And that you have a customer that's calling in every 10 minutes asking, is that going to go out today? Where is my part? Where is my part? And then having to work through supply chain, et cetera. So we open up the eyes to the kids when they come in to see that. It's just, when you talk manufacturing, it's just not making a part. It's not assembling a part. You have the purchasing department, the supply chain that has to order those parts. You have the sales department that's going to be talking to the customer, and then they're going to have to pick out the right part for that customer. Make sure that that's getting to the, well, those parts are coming in. Well, then the quality department has to inspect those parts. So you have that process, and then you get it into the engineering. Well, the engineering designed it, or they're redesigning it based on customer specifications or market needs, et cetera. So you open up to the kids coming in that, guess what? It's not just being in a foundry pouring hot slag into a mold. There's a lot of great stuff going on, and the computer numerical controlled machining operations, our paperless manufacturing we have at Badger Meter with iPads. Oh, they see iPads, and they go, oh, hey, there's no game apps. Yeah, well, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, no time for games.
Although I did make a note, we do have a computer gaming program at Gateway, so we may come up with a manufacturing game.
There you
okay,
go.
Yeah, you heard it here. I came up with the idea. I want royalties.
Absolutely. But you make a good point that when we talk about this kind of misunderstanding, that didn't come from nowhere. I mean, it's. I think Mike said it very well right off the bat that it's an outdated idea. But I mean, once upon a time, that really was
absolutely
so much of what manufacturing was about. And it's just many people have not had the opportunity to understand the way in which that has moved and changed in some spectacular ways.
Right. Many years ago, we started Career Connections through Racine Unified School District with the Racine Area Manufacturers Association and Commerce, a partnership, the Education Committee. That's where our involvement with Gateway started. The Automotive Lab, that's now at Park High School, was a great kick into the partnership that we had with Gateway, working with the faculty there, getting the accreditation for the students while they stayed at Park. Didn't have to come to Gateway, you know, where it was, yeah, look it, you've got this technology here that helped us put in the automotive lab that Park High School now has. That was Roger Palman, you know, put a lot of the equipment into that, and we just had to go after the Board of Education for the brick and mortar. And it's a state-of-the-art facility today, and those students walk out of there with an ASE certification, which would not have happened if we did not have the great partnership with Gateway. Well, in that process, we would go and talk to sixth graders and ask them, what are you going to be through Career Connections? What are you going to be when you grow up? And it was amazing that, you know, at that point, I'm going to be a babysitter. I'm going to be a dancer. I'm going to be a professional basketball player. Okay, yeah. Great. So what courses are you going to take to be a professional babysitter, to be a professional dancer? So as you're going through and you have now with the pathways and the career academies, you have the opportunity to choose what you think your career is going to be, then what are the courses that you're going to drive to that are going to make you the most successful babysitter, if that's really what you want to be.
Right. That's what it's all about, those pathways. This is a good question probably for everybody, but let's start with Chuck. Say a word about, we've kind of danced around this, but maybe we should talk some specifics about the ways in which manufacturing really has changed from the grimy picture that Dominic was just talking about. What are some of the most important ways in which the operations of manufacturing in your plant or in general have changed, and the way in which the skills that are required to be successful in that kind of a workplace, how have those changed over the years?
So one of the biggest things I've seen is the technology of the equipment. So as Brian mentioned, the mechatronics lab that they have at the iMed Center, which is all about controls and how you program controls, and the controls that are telling conveyors to run, telling fillers to run. It's just amazing how that works now. That technology is very impressive, and if you understand that and are able to have those skills, there's definite positions out there for you for that. We've installed and had capital projects with new equipment in our plant, and that's all of our equipment is controlled by those controls. As well as for, you know, that gets into your engineering and maintenance, but for our operators, you know, all the equipment now, you got to have computer experience. I mean, everything is controlled by HMIs. You know, it's a computer screen that you're having to go in, touch the screen to get to the different controls, and that's, you know, the operators are doing that. And just understanding the equipment, having that basic troubleshooting mechanical background is really critical.
So it's not just using a wrench. A lot more than that.
Not in today's manufacturing setting. It's an integrated process. So I really love the idea that, you know, we want people with very strong academic skills and technical skills, because there's a lot of analysis that's done into managing those controls and really anticipating what the product is looking like as it goes through the process. In the old days, you could have a job and you would do your job at your spot and not really have to interact with the machine so much, not even really have to interact with the person working next to you because
right.
everybody, now it's complete team building. It's all around how do we do the analysis and diagnose the flow of the product, whatever the product might be. And Mike's shop does a great job of that because, you know, his success has really been built around problem solving. So those are some very unique parts that he makes and his relationships with the customers. How can we solve your problem is not one person's solution. It's a team of people.
Anything else to offer, Mike?
You know, speaking of the problem solving, I mean, it covers so many different areas of both work and personal life. But I don't know that I've seen any curriculum that specifically addresses, you know, how do you systematically approach a problem set to arrive at, you know, the answer. You know, probably the best thing I can come up with is, I remember asking somebody, a professor once upon a time, about why do I need calculus? And really the answer was, I'm trying to teach you how to learn.
Mm.
And through those type of tools, you know, you can overcome so much. So really what we're looking for is strong math and science background. You know, again, if you're not pulling a lever on a drill press all day long, you need to be able to look at these different situations, evaluate what's working and what isn't, collaborate with your neighbors to move it forward. And it takes a lot of different disciplines. And so when Brian talks about integrated manufacturing, certainly spot on with that.
Domenico Cariello, anything to add on that?
Well, I would. As we're working through the pathways process with our USD and all the other supporting agencies that are getting involved, United Way. United Way now has a focus. It's a focus United Way, and it's improving the education in Racine, setting the conditions for education success. What was brought up the other day at our strategic education meeting at United Way, which made a lot of sense, when you go through school, it's you. You're being tested. It's never a group test. It's always the individual. You're reading, you're writing, you're doing the math, and it's you. But then we put them in industry, and we say, we want you to work as in collaboration with this team.
Mm.
So they're going to start modifying some of the courses that they have, that they are partnering with other students, that it is in collaboration, because that's the expectation we have in industry. You might be the most brilliant person in the world, and we're going to, what, stick you in a cube and, you know, throw notes and things at you all day long, and you're gonna produce all this great stuff for us. But if you can't interact with the workforce, if you can't do the collaborative problem solving, then you know what, you're not of, I'm gonna say, use to us, because you know you might have the answer, and we're running around the facility trying to solve a problem, and the answer sits in our facility because we didn't pull that person in.
Right.
Or they didn't know that that's what they should be doing.
Right, that it would be okay.
It would be okay. Yeah, jump in.
Dominic just has this way of painting this picture in my head all the time when he talks. I'm imagining someone having post-it notes dropped over the top of their cube on that. But
it's true.
But he's right. I mean, I think what all three gentlemen have been describing is this whole concept that we've talked about on the show before, Greg, and it's STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. It's the integration of those mathematics, scientific skills applied in an engineering fashion so that students can get involved in helping create the future world. You know, so it's more about being creative and expressing themselves through a manufacturing platform.
This is an important question too. I think Dominic actually brought this up earlier, the fact that manufacturing, a manufacturing operation, is more than just the actual creation of the stuff, but it's also a whole sort of support team that also makes other facets of the operation possible. Mike, let's start with you, but again, anybody who wants to chime in, can you say a word about some of those sort of support areas like accounting and the marketing and the IT and so on? How do people get to those facets of what you do? I mean, can just any accountant be an accountant for a place like Precision Plus, or is it helpful if you take a certain pathway in which you really understand the world of manufacturing? I mean, what makes the most sense in being the best prepared for that facet of your operation, for instance?
Well, obviously, the broader your experience is, the better and more successful you will be. And so, and that's the thing that you know, I even talk to my children about is I've got one that's at engineering school, another one that's at community college, and the younger one isn't quite sure what he wants to do. And I say, well, get out and visit as many different facilities as you can. Learn what you like as well as what you don't like, because that's just as important. And, you know, he likes IT and technology and computers. And I said, well, we have plenty of computers in our building. And, you know, we need smart people that can help, you know, machines talk to one another and, you know, disseminate information amongst the team. So, you know, computers increasingly important. And in fact, if any of you guys have ever had a computer system malfunction, and it just grinds your business to a halt. It's
absolutely,
it's absolutely crippling. And so those are important functions, and, you know, we're looking for people that are not just, you know, computer savvy or technology driven, but those that can figure out how to apply it in a manufacturing setting. You know, you mentioned the marketing and the sales side of it, incredibly important. And so when people say they want to go into marketing, they don't necessarily think of manufacturing. I think they're sitting in an office somewhere, just focused on big picture stuff. You know, we have to convince and share with our customers how we add value beyond, you know, the widget that we may make.
I think Mike draws on some really good points, even for us here at Gateway. So we have individual associate degree programs in marketing or IT, and we can do a better job of making sure that our marketing students are part of our manufacturing programs and that our IT has exposure to the marketing department and the business department is exposure to the accounting department. And I think what that whole idea of that breadth of experience helps individuals sort out where they feel most comfortable their career path would be successful, but also added value to their employer because they do have an appreciation, at least for all of the other aspects of the work that needs to be done.
Absolutely. Chuck Jester.
Yeah, and I think it's, you got to understand as well, is you don't necessarily have to have that specific degree to be in, you know, engineering or, you know, be in operations. Example myself, my degree's in athletic training.
Huh.
That's nothing close to operations, you know. But since I've been in manufacturing, I've worked in quality and operations both. So
you run around the plant quite a bit.
Yeah. You don't need to have that specific
right
degree.
Absolutely,
necessarily.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. Dominic, you and Mike and Chuck had the opportunity to speak with the Wisconsin State Board for Technical Colleges a few weeks ago. Tell us first of all about that invitation, how it came to you, and what did you guys share on that occasion?
The invitation came from Brian and the staff, and anytime I get anything from Gateway and Brian, I'm there. If I can be there, I'm there. It was a great opportunity to be able to sit in front of them and talk about, you know, what our needs are, what we're looking at, our vantage point, you know, the 30,000, 10,000 foot vantage point that we have in manufacturing and the skills, future skills that our employees are going to need to have. As I said earlier, brought up that every month is manufacturing month for us, and we have to open the doors to more students. It's got to be part of an integral part of the curriculum. And we're going to, and from that, I talked about our pathways and academies that Racine is working on. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take those models. You know, we're looking at the IMET Center, Gateway becoming one of the academies, and I brought that up to them as well. You know, we have the CNC machine sitting in that facility. We have the welding capability. We have the Metronics lab. All the sexy stuff that the kids are going to want to touch. You know, to go through and sit in books and go through all the theory is one thing. But where they learn is when they're touching it, when they're part of it, when they're an integral part of that process. So we brought up the importance of selecting the right students coming to these events as well. We've had some that, you know what, from the minute they walked in the plant, you could tell. You could just, by their demeanor, they really did not want to be there. Okay, we got to be somewhat selective. But I also caution when we say, well, we want you to vet those people out because you might turn them. Those might be the people that have that answer that, you know, can come out of that cube in the future for us. So we might be able to turn them, so we're going to give them all a chance. And we talked about the importance of being partnered with Gateway, the technical school, creating the curriculum that's being developed right now at Gateway to help us, Badger Meter, for flow technology technicians. Guess what? Unless we're growing them ourselves, and we work on that, we got to have courses we can send them to. And now if they can come to Gateway and get that course and then look beyond just what we have, okay, and say, oh, you know what, there's this technology available to us as well that we did not know that they, his staff, Brian and his staff, bring to the table that they can bring back to our workplaces. So we need to maintain those partnerships with the technical college because that is our future.
I was really so proud to have all three, Chuck, Mike, and Dominic, there to present to the state board. Normally, the state board hears from college faculty or college administration about how great we're doing, right? So we reversed the whole scenario and said, let's listen to our customers, our employers, to see, you know, where the relationships can be built. And, you know, I think it's just so critical for everyone to help understand that a technical college is only successful because the community invests and makes it successful. So our programs are reflective of the needs of the community. So if Dominic says we need flow instrumentation, then Gateway, we need to respond to that. If Mike says we need Swiss machining, we need to respond to that. You know, if Chuck says we need apprenticeship programs, we need to be ready to respond to that. So that's the power of the business partnerships and what a local college in your home community can provide for you.
Well, it looks like on that note we have to finish, but I think that nicely ties together all kinds of things that we have talked about today, and it's been a really interesting hour. I'm so grateful to have all of you on the morning show today. Mike Reeder, president of Precision Plus, making the trip in from Elkhorn. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for
great to meet
me.
You. Chuck Jester, production manager for the Ocean Spray Plant here in Kenosha. Great to have you on the morning show. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
and
it.
Dominic Cariello, great to have you back. Director of Manufacturing for Flow Instrumentation for Badger Meter. Great to have you here as well.
Thank you very much.
And Brian Albrecht, the boss, the president of Gateway Technical College. We're always glad when you find your way across the hallway to WGTD Studios.
Thank you, Greg. My pleasure.
I'm Greg Reberg. On Monday's morning show, I'll be speaking with photographer John Noltner, who has created a beautiful and inspiring project and book called A Piece of My Mind, P-E-A-C-E. This gathers together photographs of and reflections from 50 different peacemakers throughout the world. John Noltner is coming to Carthage next week for the opening of an exhibition there, which will feature photographs from this beautiful and intriguing collection. You'll hear my conversation with him on Monday. Tuesday, we speak with Harriet Rubin, who is a business consultant and journalist. On Wednesday, we speak with Jennifer Sassaman from the theater department at UW Parkside about their latest theatrical production. On Thursday, it's the latest visit of the United Environmental Council, Nan Calvert. And Friday, a week from today, we'll be speaking with Jack Rose from the local chapter of NAMI, talking about mental illness. Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for the morning show also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Our weather forecast is for sunny, windy conditions today and continued cool with a high of 60 degrees. A few clouds tonight, a windy and cool, a low of 49 degrees. Tomorrow, Saturday, is going to be a partly sunny, windy, very cool day with a high of 58 degrees. A few clouds rolling in again on Sunday with a high of 59 degrees. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high of 63 degrees. Tuesday, sunny, and we should have a high of 69 degrees. And similar high temperatures are expected Wednesday and Thursday, but a slight chance of rain developing by the middle of next week. From WGTD's community calendar, the Metropolitan Opera opens its latest season of high-definition simulcasts from the Met to movie theaters across the country, including Kenosha's Tinseltown and Racine's Renaissance, this Saturday, tomorrow, 12 noon, with Giuseppe Verdi's Il Trovatore, with an all-star cast including Anna Netrebko and Dmitry Hvorostovsky. For more information, you should go to metopera.org. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake.